All right, you do look good. You sound good. That worship sending before the Lord, I enjoyed it, and I'm sure the Lord even enjoyed it more so. You know, one of my favorite expressions is something I read in the Chronicles of Narnia. This is an allegory that C.S. Lewis wrote, and there's a lion, Aslan, who's the Christ figure, and he dies in the story. It's an allegory. But there's the family, the two girls, Lucy and Susan, I think their names were, and they come and to where Aslan's supposed to be, and all of a sudden Aslan comes alive and comes up, and they look and they go to grab him, and he says, "Girls, put your fingers in your ears. I feel like I'm going to roar." And that's the triumph of the resurrection. The Lord roars in resurrection. You know, we go through the sad times. We go through the hard times. And David's been through some hard times in the last few weeks, different things that have happened. But I was glad to hear his roar this morning, triumphant roar of victory in the Lord and what he has done. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about something that actually will produce that roar within us, and that is the faith of Jesus. The faith of Jesus. Hope that you picked up a fill-in sheet as you came in. Follow along with us today. It's either yesterday or the day before. We were doing devotions after our meal, and we were reading the story of Jesus' death. And I just picked one of these verses out, but it struck me in a new way. In fact, when I thought about it, I thought, why is this striking me so different? I know this. But it was simply verse Luke 23 and verse 46. Jesus shouted, "Father, I put my life in your hands." After Jesus said this, he died. In the particular version I was reading, it said, "And he breathed his last." And so the first point that I want to share with you this morning is that Jesus died on the cross. We all know that. But has it ever struck you? Jesus died on the cross. He breathed his last. His existence as God manifested in flesh on this earth. He had lived for those years, and it was coming to an end. And he breathed his last breath. And he died. Has a sense of finality. I think probably the most common fear of mankind is death. Because it seems so fatal. It seems like it's the end. What's after that? Jesus, and I don't want to read too much into it, but it said in one, he cried with a loud voice. It was almost like he knew this was the end. He cried with a loud voice. And then he spoke and said, "Father, I put my life in your hands." I remember 15 years ago when I had open heart surgery, and I remember being wheeled into the operating room, and of course it's a major surgery and you don't know what's going to happen, and you know that they're going to you know, they're going to put you under. You don't even know what happens after that. And I remember thinking to myself as I was being wheeled into the operating room, I said, Lord, I put my life in your hands. Lord, I just surrender it all to you. I have a feeling there was something in this, these words of Jesus of surrender, knowing that as a man, not as God, but as a man, Christ Jesus, he was relinquishing control. He was going to breathe his last. He was not going to be conscious after this moment. Up until this point, there was always a decision. I could call 12 legions of angels to come. My father would respond and so forth. But now he's relinquishing himself to death. I have to believe that Jesus had to have faith that he would be raised from the dead. He had to, he was as it were, he wasn't in control of this. I relinquish this to the Father. I give control and I have faith in the Father at this moment as I give my life. The faith of Jesus, I don't know whether you've ever thought about it that way. We don't think about Jesus needing to have faith because he was God. He was the one that people were supposed to put faith in. But now he's relinquishing the control of his life to the Father. And as it were, he had to have faith to do this. And this substantiated something that I've seen in the scripture different times. And Galatians 2:20, I've quoted it many, many times. As a Christian, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As I've read that verse many times, and I've wondered, why doesn't it just say, I live by faith in the Son of God? And some of the more modern translations translates it that way. You may have one of those. But I went back as I was preparing this message, because in the version I use, which is King James Version, the New King James Version, New Matthew Bible, there's different versions that say the faith of the Son of God. So I was just looking it up in the Young's literal translation. You just went strictly from the Greek, and it says the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in the Son of God, oh, that's true too. But the faith of the Son of God. And so I want to talk to you about the faith of Jesus. The faith that Jesus had and how we live by the faith of Jesus. And that's, we live by the faith of Jesus. So when we think about this, the man, Christ Jesus, had a personal faith in his Father. The man, Christ Jesus. He had a personal faith in his Father. And I was thinking about this. You go to Mark chapter 14. They go to Gethsemane. Told his disciples to sit here for a while. He took Peter, James, and John with him. Now listen. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Now, this is Jesus. We don't think about Jesus being troubled. We think of the disciples being troubled. But Jesus is, says here, is troubled and deeply distressed. And then he says in verse 34, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. To me, it comes back to this realization of finality that he was coming to. He was coming to a point where he was going to relinquish control, as it were, as a natural man over his, and he was going to actually lay down his life for us. He was going to die for us. And yet, in the midst of this, he's troubled, he's distressed, he's sorrowful. There's a sense of death that's coming over him. And not only the death aspect physically, but the spiritual death, if you follow me here, of taking on the sins of the world and the anticipated separation from his Father and from the close relationship and fellowship and communion he had with the Father. So all this is troubling him. So we read in verse 36, Jesus is praying. And this is something I only saw a few weeks ago when we were in our men's breakfast on Wednesday mornings, or men's prayer time. And this verse says this. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Now, I've quoted this verse many times, and I always quote it this way. That Jesus prayed, Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. But if you read it in the scripture, he doesn't say it that way. He says, all things are possible for you, period. Take this cup away from me. I don't want to read too much into this, but this is what strikes me. Jesus knew his Father was nothing impossible to him. But when he's facing death, he's saying, Father, I know you can do anything. And let me extend it a little bit. Almost like he's saying, I know you could do this a different way. Now, maybe as we know now, he couldn't. But Jesus is saying, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. But then he surrenders. But not my will, but thy will be done. I find there's so many layers in the scripture that even after all these years, I see things I just never saw before. I appreciate Jesus and his surrender. I appreciate more the suffering he went through on that Good Friday. We read right over, well, my soul's deeply troubled and sorrowful. And we just read right through that. And the scripture said that that day he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. I mean, this was something pressing on Jesus, pressing on him. Not just physical death, physical agony, but again, as I say, the spiritual dimensions of this, that he realized he was taking upon himself the sins of the world. And he's praying, Father, I know everything's possible. Take this cup from me. But Lord, and let me paraphrase this a little, extend this a little bit. But Father, I have faith in you. I have faith in your decisions. I have faith in how you want this to play out. Lord, I know you can do anything. I'm asking you to take, but not my will. I'm surrendering my will to you. I'm trusting you. I have faith in you, Father. I have faith that your plan is perfect. And so I surrender to your plan. Faith is belief, trust, and submission. You first believe it. But just believing something isn't faith. Starts there, you have to believe it. But then you have to trust in it. You have to rely on that. And then you have to Surrender to it. Submit to it. So when we talk about having faith in God, first we believe it, and then we trust it, and then we submit to it in the same way that Jesus submitted to the Father, not my will, but thy will be done. This surrender that Jesus was submitting to was he was taking our place. He was dying the death that was the sentence on all mankind. The wages of sin is death. He was taking our sins upon himself. He had to believe that God meant what he said through all the prophecies. The prophecies concerning the Messiah that was to come, that he was, you know, he had to believe Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace. I'm talking about as a man, Jesus. I'm talking about the man that died on the cross. The man, Christ Jesus. Not the God part of Jesus, because that was God in him, but he was giving his life as a man for us. And he had to, as a sense, believe all the things that were written about the Messiah. Even now he's facing the reality of it, but he had to believe the things that were spoken and that he would be raised from the dead. He experienced it on the cross when he said, when the sins of the world began to come upon him, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It wasn't that God had forsaken him, but because of the sin that had come upon him, the fellowship he had with God was disrupted because now he was bearing the sins of the world. He was bearing your sins, my sins, our separation. He was experiencing it. And he's surrendering in that moment, realizing and sensing the separation that he's still going to, in those last moments, cry out with a loud voice and say, Father, my life is in your hands. At that moment, he's not sensing the presence of God. If we believe his words, why have you forsaken me? He wasn't sensing the presence and the warmth and the fellowship of God. But at the same time, he exercised faith and said, put my life into your hands. And then he breathed his last. And Jesus rose from the dead. I put in the notes this: Jesus was not raised because of his righteousness, but because of his faith in God. In that moment, Jesus had been perfect. He had not sinned. But he took sin upon himself. And when he died with sin, the sins of all the world upon him. He didn't die and be able to be raised from the dead because he was righteous. He was raised, the Bible says, from the dead by the glory of the Father. The Father raised him from the dead. And I have to believe he was raised by the faith that he had in the Father when he said, Father, my life is in your hands. I'm here doing your will. I'm here walking this out. I'm distressed. I'm troubled. I'm sweating blood. But my life is in your hands, Lord. I believe it was that faith in the Father that raised him from the dead. Jesus' faith brought the reality of the resurrection. Now we're getting to this and how it pertains to us. Jesus' faith brought the reality of the resurrection into being. Faith creates your reality. Two people can go through the exact same thing. One person is devastated. They're both troubled. They're both distressed. But one is devastated because they have no faith and all they see is death. The other is troubled, distressed, but they have faith in God. And that faith creates a reality for them that they come through it and out the other side. Faith creates your reality. Now, isn't this exactly what Hebrews 11 verse 1 says? I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. That's why when we started with the verse, we said, you know, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, the life I'm now living in the flesh, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. We lay hold of the same faith that Jesus had, and we live out our life in faith, believing God, trusting Him, and our faith creates the reality of what we're hoping for. And it's the evidence of things we cannot see. When Jesus breathed his last, he did not see it. But his faith brought the reality into being. And he was raised from the dead. We'll go through times when we're distressed, where we're persecuted, where we feel like, I'm so troubled by this. I don't understand this. I feel separation from God. I feel like God is way and a long, far away from me. But it's your faith in God and in His Word and in His promises that will take you through the death experience into the reality of a resurrection, that we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. So true reality is not in what you see, because we don't see it. True reality is the promises of God. True reality is what God says about us. It doesn't matter what you're feeling and what you think in the moment. True reality is what God says about you in His Word and His promises. That's why we need to know what God says about us. So it holds you steady and you have faith in His Word. You have faith in His promises. And when you get to the end of yourself and you feel you're dying, you say, Lord, my life is in Your hands. And you just have faith in God to bring you through. Jesus not only died in faith, but he also lived by faith. It wasn't solely at the end of his life that he had faith. He had faith in God all the time. He didn't have faith in his own self. And I've said to you many times in the scripture when Jesus said to him, the words I speak to you are spirit and their life. And then in different places, he said, I only say the things I hear the Father say. And I only do the things I see the Father do. So Jesus in his ministry did not come with anything new. He said, the works that I do, I don't do them, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the work. His whole life as a man on earth here, he had faith in God, and we live by the same faith, the faith of Jesus, trusting God every step of the way. We use the same faith that Jesus had. We just use the same faith. We follow in his footsteps. Revelation 14, 12, when it summarizes at the end of time, Revelation 14, 12, this is what it says. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they, he's pointing out the saints in heaven. And he says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments and the faith of Jesus. It's not just your faith. It's the faith of Jesus. You need to, when you sort of run out of your own faith, you just fall back and say, Lord, you know what? I don't even have enough faith, but I'm trusting the faith of Jesus. He died on the cross. He exercised his faith. The victory he won through his faith is the victory I'm standing in. I'm standing in the faith of the Lord Jesus. I'm standing in what he accomplished through his faith. I'm standing in that. So it's not that I got to muster enough feeling and I got to overcome all my distress and I got to no longer be troubled and I've got to have an even emotional balance. You know, you may not get to that point, but you can fall back and say, Lord, my life is in your hands, just like Jesus' life was in your hands and you resurrected him. And I am alive in Christ Jesus, and I stand here in the faith of the Lord Jesus. And when their patience, he points to the Christians and he says, you know, this is the patience of the saints. You know, they kept your commandments and the faith of Jesus. Here's another verse that's a powerful verse in Hebrews 12, verses 2 to 3. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here's the point. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author. He's the originator. He's the creator. He's the prototype. He has set the pattern. He's the author of our faith. But not only is he the author of our faith, he's actually the finisher of our faith. I mean, did you see this verse in a whole brand new way? It's not you trying to muster, I got to have enough faith, I got to have enough faith. All you got to do is just rest in the faith of Jesus. He's the author of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. I trust what Jesus did on the cross. I trust in his victory through his faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. That's why it says in Romans 1, verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, how is the righteousness of God revealed? From faith to faith. From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Your faith is based on Christ's faith. It's from faith to faith. The righteousness you have, it starts in the faith of Jesus and what he accomplished, and then it moves to your faith in his faith. It's faith to faith. The righteousness of God is revealed in our lives. Don't try to reveal the righteousness of God solely in your own effort and what you can do and what you can accomplish, even as a Christian. I got to live for God. I got to live for God. Listen, you'll wear yourself out. That desire needs to be there. We want to live for God. We're not oblivious to sin. We realize its caustic nature and its destructive force in our life. We're not unaware of it, but we just realize, you know what? It's got to start in the faith that Jesus had. The righteousness that I'm going to achieve is going to be the righteousness of his faith. Now I have faith, the same faith that Jesus had. I commit myself to God. I can no longer, it's almost like you breathe your last. You take your last breath of self-effort and you just relax and say, you know what? I have to trust God's grace. My life is in your hands. That's why it goes on to say in Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. You shall not, you shall, you should, you shouldn't. It's not by the law. Listen, but that which is through the faith of Jesus. Through the faith of Jesus, I take my stance in the faith of Jesus. It's not my own righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him who knew no sin to be a sin offering for us, so that we, by means of him, should be the righteousness which is accepted before God. Your righteousness is through the means of Christ. And it's accepted before God. So what should we be doing? Use the same faith of Jesus and surrender daily to the will of God. Using the same faith of Jesus, surrender daily to the will of God. But it's not self-effort. You're trusting in his faith and what he's already accomplished. And so I'm declaring it and I surrender. Oh, folks, you need to do this daily. You need to do it daily. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Now follow this. How did Jesus rise from the dead? God, by his spirit, quickened the body of Jesus and brought it back to life. This verse says that this spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So our power and the life that we are to have is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So it has two applications. First, it raises from the dead, because you do this daily. It daily gives you power of life to live. And then at your physical death, he resurrects your body and you live in the eternal life that he has provided for us. And it's all by his spirit that dwells within us. To experience resurrection life, you have to go through a death. I mean, that's what resurrected life is. It's a life after death that is resurrected. Jesus had a resurrected life. He gave his life for us, died on the cross for us. He said, Father, my life is in your hands. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to take care of it. And he rose Jesus. He raised Jesus from the dead. And so we have that same experience. For us to experience the resurrection power of Christ, we have to go through our own personal death. Are you willing to breathe your last? Or do you still want to hold your life? Still want to maintain my life. I want to have control. I want to acknowledge Jesus. I sort of want to walk with Jesus, but I don't want to completely relinquish the control of my life. I want to sort of do what I want to do. I still want to be in control. Now, can I tell you very kindly? That attitude, you'll never experience the resurrection life of Jesus. You'll know about Jesus. You'll see it in the life of others. You sort of sense that resurrected life, but you'll never experience it for yourself. Because until you die, you'll never experience that resurrected life. Oh, folks, I'm talking to us today. I have a sense there's people here this morning. You've heard about the resurrection life of Jesus. You've seen it in other people's lives. You sort of desired it in your own life. But you've never really had faith in the Lord. You have not. You believed it, trusted a little bit, but you've never surrendered. You've got to say, Father, I breathe my last. I give my life to you. My life is in your hands. I take control. I take my hands off my life. Lord, I'm you. You created me. You have a plan and purpose. I know I have desires and lusts and longings, and I followed those things and I let them separate me, and I can't really put them away. I need your power, but the power comes in the full surrender. The surrender that Jesus said on the cross when he died and breathed his last. That's the kind of surrender we need to have. In Romans 6, it speaks about it even as a time of baptism. We are buried with him by baptism in order to die. So that in the same way as Christ was raised up from the dead, or from death by the glory of the Father, we also may walk in a new life. This is Romans 6:4. It's the same process. And water baptism is to show that full surrender to the Lord that you're dying. My life, my old life is gone, and the new life I live is empowered by God. And the Father is faithful to raise you up into a power and a place of resurrected life. Philippians 3:10. And this is Paul's longing, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You have to follow the same path. You've got to walk your own road to Calvary, to Golgotha. You've got to walk the same pathway. And Paul's saying, you know, I want to have that same, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I realize I have to fellowship with his suffering. I got to go through that same process. I'm feeling the emptiness. I feel the loss of control, but I yield it. And I'm conformed to his death. I'm conformed. In other words, I come like Jesus was on the cross. And I say, Father, I take my hands off my life. I yield my life to you. I surrender. My life is in your hands. We come conformable to his death. And by this means, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Three final verses. Mark 8:35. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. This is the gospel. This is the good news for you. The good news of salvation, of living forever with the Lord and experience his resurrected life. If you try to keep your life, you want one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and I take this stance here, you're never going to experience the resurrected life. You're still trying to keep your life. It's not unusual, and I don't want to carry this too far, but isn't this exactly what Jesus prayed in Gethsemane? Father, take this cup from me. I don't want this, but not my will, but your will be done. We go through that same process where you realize I have to surrender some things here. I am no longer going to be in control. I'm going to just yield to the Father. But the promise is if you'll lose your life, that's when you're going to gain it. And then Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Just as Jesus took up his cross and lived out his faith through surrender, we're called upon every day, take up your cross. And you walk out that pathway. And if you do, there's the same benefits that come to us that came to Jesus. We're going to experience his resurrection life. And 1 John 3:16. Now this extends not just to us, but to others. By this we know the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So this is the ongoing outworking of the gospel in our life. By faith in God, we grasp the same faith of Jesus and we experience righteousness. And that's the love of God. John 3:16, God so loved the world. But 1 John 3:16 says, you know, that's how we know the love of God. But now you need to lay down your life for someone else. Oh, that's the servant attitude of being a Christian. And let me just sort of wrap all this up with this. Many people serve God for what they can get out of it. I want to serve God because he's going to bless me, and I'm going to have health, and I'm going to have prosperity, and I'm going to have all my prayers answered, and I'm going to have a good family, and all the good things that's going to come to me if I serve God. And folks, there's truth in all of that, because he does give us health and prosperity and those things. But there's got to be a willingness to understand I'm serving God not for my benefit, but for the benefit of others. And so I'm willing to give to someone else. I'm willing to give other people the credit. I'm willing to take an offense that comes towards me because you know what? They need to experience forgiveness just like Jesus forgave me. And we lay down our lives for other people to experience the resurrection life in us and then passing it on to the other person. The faith of Jesus Christ. I hope that this Easter you have a new appreciation for the faith of Jesus. And not just an appreciation, but you'll lay hold of it. And you say, at this moment, I'm going to pray the same prayer. Father, I give my life to you. My life is in your hands. It's not about me. I have faith in you. You do with my life what you want done. If you'll yield your life, you're going to gain so much more back. You lose your life, you're going to gain your life. Do you want to give your life afresh and anew to the Lord? Would you stand with me this morning? Scripture says that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. I think the joy is seeing his resurrected life passed on to others. I want to give the Lord joy by yielding my life to the Lord. And the life that he has, he's passed on to me. I sense his desire for us today. I sense his desire for everyone in this place that has been reluctant to give their life totally to the Lord. I sense his love for you. I sense his wooing and his calling, his desire for you to come into this reality. So I ask you from the depths of my heart, give your heart to the Lord. Yield yourself. Give him your life. Have faith in God. Have the same faith as Jesus. And give yourself to him this morning. If you feel that way, would you just raise your hand? Maybe for the first time you're surrendering. Maybe this is just the ongoing commitment of surrender. Whatever you're feeling, I want you to raise your hand this morning. And let me pray for us. Father, we want to have the same faith that Jesus had. We want to walk that same pathway to eternal life, to resurrection power. And Lord, I pray for this congregation this morning. every person that's here that's feeling the tug on their heart to surrender their life to you. I pray, Lord, they would step over the threshold. They'll take their last breath. They'll breathe their last breath, and that they will give themselves totally and completely to you. May they experience the power and regeneration of your Holy Spirit. Father, may we have all this renewal. All of us, Lord, may we be renewed this morning in this resurrection power. May this Easter Sunday be a red letter day for us all. A day where we are experiencing the resurrection life, that the resurrected Christ is resurrecting us. Oh, Lord, we pray it, ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Put your amen to it. Amen.